May we bow our heads. O Lord, from whom all good things come, grant to us that by thy holy inspiration we may think those things that are good, and with humble, merciful hearts may we perform the same. Teach us step by step what we do not know, to preserve in us that which we do know. Correct us when mistaken. Strengthen us when we fail. Deliver us from habitual errors. Empower us to persevere with practical wisdom. And embolden us to fulfill our duty with courage and grace. May these men and women commissioned today inspire us to serve our generation on earth in preparation for your eternal service in heaven. This is our prayer. This is our plea. May we all say together, Amen.
Please take your seats. President Faust, General McDew, Major General Davenport, Brigadier General Ryan, retired, Professor Walton, Harvard College class of 1964, family and friends, I'm Captain Daniel Hibbler, Assistant Professor of Military Science at MIT, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Reserve Officer Training Corps commissioning ceremony for the Harvard cadets, midshipmen, and Marine officer candidates of the class of 2014. It is now my honor to introduce the members of the official party. President Drew Gilpin Faust, Harvard University's 28th president, and the Lincoln Professor of History in the Faculty of Arts and Sciences. General Darren W. McDew, Commander of the United States 18th Scott Air Force Base in Illinois. Professor Jonathan Walton, Pusey Minister in the Memorial Church and Plummer Professor of Christian Morals. Captain Steve Benke, Professor of Naval Science at MIT and Commanding Officer of the Navy ROTC Consortium. Captain Brian Warner, Officer Selection Officer at Officer Selection Office, Boston, Massachusetts, Recruiting Station, Portsmouth. Lieutenant Colonel Adam Edwards, Professor of Military Leadership at MIT and Commanding Officer of the Army ROTC Battalion. And finally, Lieutenant Colonel Ted Weibel, Professor of Aerospace Studies at MIT and Commanding Officer of the Air Force ROTC Detachment. By act of the President of the United States and the confirmation of the United States Senate, this ceremony confers the Military Officer Commission and the Oath of Office to graduating Harvard cadet, midshipmen, and officer candidates of the class of 2014. Each one of them has committed to serve in the Armed Forces of the United States of America. This year's commissioning ceremony recognizes the commencement of service of one cadet, two midshipmen, and four Marine officer candidates to the defense of our nation as commissioned officers in the United States Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps. Lieutenant Colonel Adam Edwards will now introduce our guest speakers.
General McDew, President Faust, distinguished guests, alumni, educators, administrators, students, Harvard class of 64, and most importantly, friends and family members of the commissioning class of 2014, welcome to the Harvard University Commissioning Ceremony. Harvard has a long history of educating the nation's military leaders and providing support to America's armed forces. Since 1636, thousands of Harvard graduates have answered the call to military service, including those commissioned through the Reserve Officer Training Corps and the Marine Platoon Leader Course, into the United States Army, Marine Corps, Navy, and Air Force. The monuments to graduates who have answered the call to military service abound on this campus, not least of which is the Memorial Chapel behind me, where 17 Medal of Honor recipients' names are inscribed alongside the several hundred names names of those alumni who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for their fellow countrymen in our nation's conflicts since World War I. Also on the wall in this chapel is the name of Lieutenant William Emerson. Lieutenant Emerson gave his life in Vietnam as a Marine Corps helicopter pilot in 1968. He was a member of the Harvard class of 1964. That class is here on campus now celebrating their 50th reunion. The class of 64 had numerous members commissioned from the various ROTC programs. In addition, similar to many universities throughout the country, many were enlisted or were drafted at that time. We have been blessed over the years to have a strong ROTC alumni presence here at Harvard. At this time, I would like to ask all the Harvard ROTC and PLC alumni in the audience present to please stand. Thank you very much for your service and your continued support of today's cadets. Today, Harvard's tradition of service to the nation continues with these seven volunteers. Like Lieutenant Emerson, they have chosen service to others over service to themselves, fully knowing that they will likely be in harm's way. They will be the newest members of the ever-growing Long Crimson Line, bringing great honor upon Harvard by providing outstanding leadership to the nation and to our military services. Today, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce our speakers. First, it's my honor to introduce our guest speaker, General Darren W. McDew, Commander of Air Mobility Command, Scott Air Force Base, Illinois. Air Mobility Command's mission is to provide rapid global mobility and sustainment for America's armed forces, as well as providing humanitarian support around the world. General McDew was commissioned in 1982, following his graduation from the Virginia Military Institute. He is rated as a command pilot with over 3,300 flight hours on numerous types of military aircraft. He is commanded at the squadron, group, and wing levels. He is deployed in support of ongoing operations in Central and Southeast Asia as an Air Expeditionary Group Commander and later as Director of Mobility Forces. Prior to his current assignment, General McDew was the commander of the 18th Air Force at Scott Air Force Base. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming General McDew.
Slightly irreverent for some of you, possibly, because I see this as a celebration today. It is a noble ceremony, and it is one not to be taken lightly. However, it is with fun that these young men and women have made this decision, and it is going to be fun indeed. President Faust, distinguished members of the faculty, the honored class of 1964, ladies and gentlemen, fellow flag and general officers as well, there are several in the audience. To everyone, congratulations. This is an exciting day. And thank you for this tremendous opportunity to speak with you today. I am awed by this, actually. I feel like I've truly arrived. I was telling the president earlier, I'm a VMI graduate. And I am sitting here in the middle of Harvard University. So I have, in fact, arrived. This is as close as I'll get, actually. It is truly an honor to be here today and take part in this important ceremony with seven remarkable men and women. Dr. Faust, thank you for your hospitality and the inclusive learning environment you have established here. You were integral in getting ROTC back on campus after nearly 40 years of absence. You will have many legacies, but I want you to count this as one of many that you will leave to this fine institution. Through your continued partnership with MIT's successful Army, Navy, Air Force, ROTC programs, you add tremendous value to our nation's defense. In doing so, you demonstrate Harvard's commitment to both learning and service. Harvard, I don't need to tell you, is the oldest university in the United States, even older than my beloved VMI. It is renowned for its global leadership in education and composed of compassionate, world-class scholars. I'm impressed with your enduring dedication to the pursuit of excellence and your devotion to instilling that mindset in your students, particularly in these young, soon-to-be officers before us today. Now, if you'll bear with me for just a moment, the first group I want to pay tribute to stands in front of you, and they've stood behind you for many, many years. It's the family, the parents, the supporting friends. I want to say thank you. Thank you for making this day possible through your love and encouragement. As officers, these men and women will continue to need your support for the days, months, and years to come. And from my vantage point at the microphone, it's easy to pick you out. You're the ones with the proud hearts and the big, bright smiles. Overjoyed to see your vision of graduation realized, and probably equally glad to see the relationship with the registrar's office coming to an end. No more tuition checks, and yes, they have jobs. You have guided them from diapers to diplomas. These young men and women are now ready to lead, and lead because you cared enough to instill in them the importance of giving back to their nation. We will do our best, and I will pledge we will give them the best training and the tools that they will need to be successful. And on behalf of our Commander-in-Chief and every senior leader in our Department of Defense, a grateful nation, and the men and women of the armed forces they will lead, thank you for letting us borrow these precious men and women. Now to the commissioning class of 2014. There is no greater gift anyone can give their nation than their service. So I thank each of you up front for that service. You will lead in interesting times. You have a great opportunity to shape and better our military. Like I said before, this is exciting. Not only for you becoming second lieutenants and ensigns as you take the military oath for the first time, but also because you had the opportunity to study, attend ROTC, and thrive at this prestigious institution. You're each part of a select and very distinguished group, strengthening the historic ties between our military and Harvard, and becoming a part of a rich heritage. As you enter our all-volunteer force, bear in mind that we represent less than 1% of all American citizens. As military members, it is important to remember that we always are being part of a society at large and our local communities. It is essential to stay connected. As a military within a democracy, we must never lose touch with our communities at large, and if we lose touch with those, the American people that we support, their support is how we are able to serve and answer our nation's call. We must ensure that that support is always there by being true to our core values. Every one of the services that you will join today adheres to core values. The Army codifies them as loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. The Navy and Marine Corps state them as honor, courage, and commitment. The Air Force lists them simply as integrity, service, and excellence. While our service's values may sound different, the principles they represent, honor, integrity, and selfless service, are very much the same. These core values are who we are. They are what we stand for and what our nations and our uniforms represent, and what America deserves. They apply to every member of our armed forces, regardless of upbringing, culture, belief system, ethical and moral or social values. Today, you subscribe to these values, joining a proud line of professionals in the world's finest military. Our core values bind us. They are why we're able to be trusted, why we trust each other, even the trust to place our lives in each other's hands. Our military is diverse. We each bring something different to our respective service, and that makes us truly unique. That's part of what makes us the strongest military in the world. I emphasize this point everywhere I go with every soldier, sailor, airman, marine, and Coast Guardsman. It is that important. We value everyone by maintaining a culture of dignity and respect. This culture generates trust between us, our brothers and sisters in arms, and amongst the society we protect. Always strive to uphold that culture, because trust is vital in the work we do all around the world. We must never lose sight of that. As Secretary Hagel mentioned last week during his speech at Annapolis, we are all accountable. We all have to step up and take action when we see something that hurts our people and our values. In everything you do, you will set the example for your peers and those who follow. I simply demand that you lead. As you lead by example, realize that you will be tested. That's right. Even though you're graduating from studies here, life will continue to test you, and you likely won't know when those tests will come. As you face the real-life test, you also won't always get a grade back, at least not a letter grade, even though your consequences could be dire. These tests will drive you to decide who you are and the kind of leader you're going to become. As you continue to refine the kind of leader you are, decide who it is right now, and then be it every single day, not in moments of convenience, not when you feel like it, not in the things you enjoy, but in all things every day. As General Dwight D. Eisenhower said, there are no victories at bargain prices. John Maxwell went on to write that to choose the pain of discipline, which comes from sacrifice and growth, or the pain of regret, which comes from taking the easy road and missing opportunities. Each person in life chooses. You've already made one such choice, and we're here to celebrate your pursuit of excellence and service and the unlimited opportunity that stands before you. You are the future and the present of our military. America needs your leadership and your great ideas. Be bold and courageous and believe that you can make a difference. I believe in you possibly more than you believe in yourselves. You are new leaders in the greatest military the world has ever known. And you have the privilege of leading bold, innovative soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen during a remarkable time in our nation's history. As you face these new challenges, I would like to share a few lessons that I gained as a 12-year-old point guard playing Little League basketball from one of my youth basketball coaches, Chief Master Sergeant Curtis Rogers. At the time, I thought Chief Rogers was making me a better basketball player and improving my passing game and my jump shot and possibly my free throws. And I would go on to play in all-star teams in some leagues throughout my youth. But as I moved up from point guard to team captain, I also learned he was teaching me about leadership, success, life, and duty. And Chief Rogers taught me it is about the content of your character. It's not about who you are. It's about who you're determined to be. It's not about where you come from. It's about where you're determined to go. It's about the freedom to dream big dreams, the freedom to work hard and achieve, and the freedom to believe and succeed. These principles have provided me a strong foundation for now 32 years as I've fulfilled my duty along the way. I have no doubt that these principles are just as relevant today as they were in 1982, as you prepare your own career of service. I encourage you to reflect on the words of the great General George Catlett Marshall, VMI class of 1901. It is impossible for the nation to compensate for the services of a fighting man. There is no pay scale that is high enough to buy the services of a single soldier during even a few minutes of the agony of combat, the physical miseries of the campaign, or the extreme personal inconvenience of leaving home to go out to the most unpleasant and dangerous spots on earth to serve his nation. And I will add, this is our duty. I am very, very proud of you, and I envy you. I envy you as you embark on an exciting and noble career leading the finest citizens this nation can produce. You are, in fact, my heroes. You are the reason I continue to serve. I see in you youth and vitality and the promise of decisions not yet made and the potential of roads not yet taken. I feel a special kinship to you because for once I was you. And it makes me feel good right now to melt away the intervening years and relive a few of those days. I conclude my remarks as I began with a simple thank you very much. Thank you for your service and what you will do for our nation. This is a great day for our country, for each of you, and for the family and friends that have supported you along the way. Congratulations and thank you for including me in this great moment. Thank you.
It's now my honor to introduce our next guest speaker, Dr. Drew Gilpin Faust, President of Harvard University. Prior to taking office as Harvard's 28th president, she had a distinguished background in education and history, particularly particularly as historian of the U.S. Civil War and the American South. Her notable positions include the following: founding dean of Radcliffe Institute for Advanced Study, the Lincoln Professor of History in the Faculty of Arts and Sciences, the Annenberg Professor of History, and director of the Women's Study Program at the University of Pennsylvania. She received her bachelor's degree, magna cum laude, with honors in history from Bryn Mawr, and her master's and doctoral degrees in American Civilization from the University of Pennsylvania. We are privileged to have her join us today in this ceremony to honor our soon-to-be commissioned officers. Please join me in welcoming President of Harvard, Dr. Faust.
Thank you for inviting me to be here with you. It is a privilege to celebrate the admirable and honorable choice you have made to pursue military service. Today, we recognize your dedication and offer our deepest gratitude for the courage and the selflessness you will continue to demonstrate in the months and years to come. You are distinguished among your classmates and fellow citizens by virtue of your connections to two institutions with lasting and storied legacies, the United States military and Harvard University. Your accomplishments are intertwined with their histories, and you will shape and have shaped them as they have shaped and will shape you. Just as many professors and fellow classmates have learned about the military by having you in their house or section or classroom, there will be many in the military and elsewhere who will come to know Harvard through you. One of your predecessors, commissioned here several years ago, even reported to me that when she was in basic training, her fellow Marines gave up her name entirely and just called her Harvard. Now, since there are four of you going to basic training this year together, maybe you'll have to be Harvard 1, Harvard 2, Harvard 3, and Harvard 4. It might get confusing. You will establish and deepen others' understandings of the university, as have so many men and women before you. Now, the actions of some of those men and women define the very space in which we are now gathered. 100 years ago this summer, a conflict began that would spur warfare on an unprecedented scale. During World War I, some 11,000 individuals from Harvard served with the Allied forces. Here on this campus, one of the very first ROTC programs in the country was formed, and its students marched through Boston in a show of national preparedness. In 1916, Captain Constance Cordier, whose saber you may have seen in Harvard's Army ROTC office, said of the newly formed Harvard Regiment that, and I'm quoting him, "In all this land, there is no better material for officers than is found in the student body of Harvard." Memorial Church, just behind us, was built in memory of the hundreds of individuals from Harvard who died in World War I. The alumni who led efforts to support its design and construction sought to create, in their words, a shrine of deep spiritual significance to commemorate the idealism and cheerful sacrifice of those who gave their lives for the cause. Intended to be a standing monument of the spiritual and an embodiment of the highest ideals, Memorial Church was dedicated on Armistice Day in 1932. On a plaque inside Mem Church that lists Harvard's Medal of Honor recipients, two names appear from World War I. Charles Whittlesey, a 1908 graduate of the law school, and George McMurtry, college class of 1899. These two Harvard men were commanding officers of the legendary Lost Battalion, approximately 550 men isolated by German forces after an American attack in the Argonne Forest. Refusing to surrender in spite of heavy casualties and lack of food and water, LLC defended his position for 5 days until relief, summoned by a carrier pigeon, arrived. All but 194 men were killed, wounded, or captured, but the battalion held its ground. Captain Cordier's words were accurate. There proved to be no better material for officers than that found at Harvard. With your commissioning today, you become part of that tradition. You will honor the service and sacrifice of those who came before you through your own commitment. Whittlesey came to Harvard from Wisconsin, McMurtry from Pennsylvania. You've come from nearby Groton and distant San Diego, from Colorado, Connecticut, Maryland. Some of you came from military families with traditions you are dedicated to uphold. One of you came with a family of your own. All of you leave with a shared identity as an indelible part of Harvard and its heritage of military and national service. May you continue to support one another and to test yourselves. May you take full advantage of the learning that you have gained here to make a better world for others. We take pride in your dedication and your leadership. It's an honor to congratulate you and your families on this very important day. Congratulations.
President Faust is now presenting a gift to each commissionee on behalf of Harvard University. This gift is the book entitled The Sleepwalkers, How Europe Went to War in 1914, written by Christopher Clark. At this time, each commissionee will recite their individual oaths. Parents and special guests will be invited on stage to pin on the new officer's rank. And finally, each new officer will then receive his or her first salute. The first officer to be commissioned today is Navy Midshipman Christopher Curtis. Administering his oath will be Captain Adam J. Curtis, retired. Ensign Curtis graduates from Harvard College with a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Near Eastern Languages and Civilizations. His first assignment is in San Diego, California. Ensign Curtis is from San Diego, California. tradition for the newly commissioned officer to award a silver dollar to the first enlisted service member who renders a salute to him or her. The individual receiving the silver dollar is then responsible for tracking the officer's career. If one day that officer reaches the rank of general or admiral, the silver dollar is then awarded back to the newly promoted flag officer. Ensign Curtis will now receive his first salute from Midshipman Second Class Lindsay E. Curtis. The next officer to be commissioned today is Navy Midshipman Catherine M. Philbin. Administering her oath is Colonel Bruce Harper, U.S. Marine Corps retired. Ensign Philbin's mother, Vivian Philbin, and brother, Michael Philbin, will now pin on her new rank. Ensign Philbin graduates from Harvard College with a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Environmental Engineering. Her first assignment is the USS Chancellorsville in San Diego, California. Ensign Philbin is from Evergreen, Colorado, and is the daughter of Mrs. Vivian Philbin and the late Major General Edward J. Philbin, U.S. Air Force. Ensign Philbin will now receive her first salute from Sergeant Major Elaine Stem, U.S. Marine Corps retired. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Ensign Kathy Philbin. Next officer to be commissioned today is Marine James S. Brooks. Administering his oath is Captain Brian Warner, U.S. Marines.
Hold up your right hand and repeat after me. I state your full name.
I, James Stark Brooks.
Do solemnly swear. That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
That I will well and faithfully
discharge the duties.
Starts the duties
of the office of which I am about to enter.
The office of which I'm about to enter.
So help me God. Congratulations, Murray.
Second Lieutenant Brooks' grandfather, Lieutenant James S. Smith, U.S. Navy retired, will now pin on his new rank. Second Lieutenant Brooks graduates from Harvard College with a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Chemical and Physical Biology with a citation in French. His first assignment is to the Basic School in Quantico, Virginia. Lieutenant Brooks is following in the footsteps of his grandfathers, who both served in the Navy. Second Lieutenant Brooks is from Baltimore, Maryland. Second Lieutenant Brooks will now receive his first salute from Sergeant First Class Logan Leslie. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Second Lieutenant James Brooks. Officer to be commissioned today is Marine Midshipman Catherine Brown. Administering her oath is Marine Officer Instructor Major Craig Georges.
Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I state your full name.
I, Catherine Ann Brown.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Of the office on which I am about to enter.
Of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Second Lieutenant Brown's parents and brother, Kathy, Tom, and Eric, Brown will now pin on her new rank. Second Lieutenant Brown graduates from Harvard College with a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Government and East Asian Studies. During her time at Harvard, she was a member of the varsity lacrosse team. Her first assignment is to the Basic School in Quantico, Virginia. Second Lieutenant Brown is from Mystic, Connecticut. Second Lieutenant Brown will now receive her first salute from Gunnery Sergeant Nicholas Roman. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Second Lieutenant Catherine Brown. Thank you. next officer to be commissioned today is Staff Sergeant Taylor B. Evans. Administering his oath is Colonel Mark Evans, United States Air Force.
Raise your right hand, repeat after me. I, Taylor Bruce Evans.
I, Taylor Bruce Evans.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I take this obligation freely.
I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Of the office upon which I am about to enter.
Of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Lieutenant.
Second Lieutenant Evans' wife, daughter, and mother, Stephanie, Haley, and Polly Evans, will now pin on his new rank. Second Lieutenant Evans graduates from Harvard College with a Bachelor's of Arts degree in history. His first assignment is to the basic school in Quantico, Virginia. Second Lieutenant Evans is married to Stephanie Evans. Together they have a daughter, Haley, 4, and a son, Connor, 1. Second Lieutenant Evans is from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Second Lieutenant Evans will now receive his first salute from Gunnery Sergeant Nicholas Rope. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Second Lieutenant Taylor B. Evans. Next officer to be commissioned today is Marine Peter MacTiger. Administering his oath is Captain Brian Warner, Marine Corps, Boston.
Pull up your right hand and repeat after me. I state your full name.
I, Peter Gordon MacTiger.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Of the office of which I am about to enter.
Office in which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Semper Fi, Marine.
Second Lieutenant MacTiger's grandmother, Eva Vary, will now pin on his new rank. Second Lieutenant MacTiger graduates from Harvard College with a Bachelor's of Arts degree in government with a focus on international relations. His first assignment is to the basic school in Quantico, Virginia. Second Lieutenant MacTiger is from Bronxville, New York. Second Lieutenant Mac Tiger will now receive his first salute from Sergeant First Class Logan Leslie, United States Army. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Second Lieutenant Peter Mac Tiger. Today is Air Force Cadet Mason Covino. Administering her cadet will be her grandfather, Colonel Stephen Donahue, retired.
You saved the best for last. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I state your full name.
I, Madison Lee Covino.
Having been duly appointed Second Lieutenant, United States Air Force.
Having been duly appointed as Second Lieutenant in the United States Air Force.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservations or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservations or purpose of evasion.
And I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
That I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office upon which I'm about to enter.
Of the office upon which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Second Lieutenant Covino's father and grandfather, Lieutenant Colonel Rick Covino, retired, and Colonel Stephen Donahue, retired, will now pin on her new rank. Second Lieutenant Covino graduates from Harvard College with a Bachelor's of Arts degree in East Asian Studies from Harvard University. Her first assignment is Mindenhall Air Force Base for logistics readiness. Second Lieutenant Covino is from Gorton, Massachusetts. Lieutenant Covino is following in the footsteps of her father and grandfather, who are both in the United States Air Force. Second Lieutenant Covino will now receive her first salute from Technical Sergeant Ivy Santiago. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Second Lieutenant Madison Covino. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in congratulating the Harvard ROTC graduates of the class of 2014. staff of the Departments of Military Leadership, Naval Science, and Aerospace Studies wish to thank President Faust, General McDew, Professor Walton, the Commencement Choir, the Brass Quintet, the Army Junior ROTC from Methuen High School, the Advocates for a Harvard ROTC, the Harvard ROTC Alumni Fund, the Harvard University for their support of this ceremony. Please stand as Professor Walton offers the benediction and remain standing for the playing of the service songs and departure of the official party.
May we depart from this joyous occasion in prayer. Please bow your heads. Protect us, O Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your presence. Keep these courageous young people outwardly in their bodies and inwardly in their souls. Defend them from adversities which may cause physical injury to their bodies, and from evil thoughts and vain desires that may cause spiritual injuries to their souls. Have mercy on them, O God, and have mercy on us as individuals and as a nation if we do not do all we can to support their well-being. This is our prayer. This is our humble plea. May we all say together, amen. Thank you.
concludes the commissioning ceremony for the Harvard class of 2014. We appreciate your attendance at today's ceremony and also your continued support of our cadets, midshipmen, and officer candidates. Thank you very much.